little expression in Ephesians 4, which I hope you will bear in mind. It says in Ephesians 4 and verse 16, it's a great verse, Ephesians 4, 16. The whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. You are an individual part of the body of Christ that Jesus Christ is building here. I really believe Christ is building the body here. I have no doubt about it. So my challenge is not whether the body of Christ is building here. My challenge is whether each of you are doing your part. That's my question. That's my burden this morning. It's not because I doubt what God is doing here, but I do doubt whether every one of you is doing your part. It says here, the proper working of each individual part is like this body. God has made this human body in such a way that if one little part inside me doesn't work properly, it affects the whole body. Imagine if just your liver doesn't function properly, or your kidney doesn't function properly. That's a small little thing, the kidney. But it can affect your whole body. Some little thing in your bloodstream and knocks you down with fever and you can't go to work. What's it, a small little thing which you've got to see under a microscope, when it's floating around in your bloodstream and it knocks you out. So you see how the picture of a body where each part is important. And we want to build a church where we build a body there. And that's why I said, you can't stop. We don't say visitors can't come to this church. Anybody can come. Prostitutes, drug addicts, any Tom, Dick, and Harry can come and sit in our Sunday meeting. Sure. But in the midst of what other people see as the church, there's a church in between, in the middle. A core. That's the real church. See, Jesus had many concentric circles around him. One was the multitude. And then in Luke chapter 10, he read of another group of 70, which was more important than the multitude because he could send them out in 35 groups of two each. They were a little better than the multitude. But in the middle of that, there was another group of 11. They were really close to him. And then in the middle of that, there's another group of 3 who were really close. And those are the ones Jesus spent most of his time with. Jesus didn't have equal fellowship with all the 70. And, you know, people who say, we must have equal fellowship with everybody in the church. There's a lot of garbage. Or that he didn't even have equal fellowship with all the 11. He had fellowship with 3. Some people call that a clique. Yes, it is a clique. But it's a spiritual clique inside the church. And it always happens. I've seen with different people I work with hundreds of people. I don't have equal fellowship with all of them. I don't even visit all their homes. I have a small number. And it's not partiality. Jesus wasn't partial when he hung around with 3 people more than others, and hung around with 11 more than others. It's because within that group, there was a church. And within all the people who come to the church on Sunday morning, there's another thing which is a real church. And that's the thing which God is building. And what I want to encourage you is to be a part of that. Don't be satisfied that I come here every Sunday morning and I mark my attendance. I'm okay. It means nothing. Seek to be a part of that inner core that's willing to pay the price to move from self-centeredness to God-centeredness in your daily life. And that's fulfill your part, the proper working of each individual part. Say, I want to be a part of this body of Christ. And it's not a question of how much you do, whether you clean the carpet or bring the food or do various things. Those are all external things anybody can do. You can be an unconverted man and do all that. But I'm talking about the spiritual body of Christ, which is built by a number of people. We don't know how it works, you know. But I'll show you something else in 2 Corinthians 4, where we saw about always bearing in our body the dying of Jesus. Verse 10, so that the life of Jesus is manifested in our body. These are 3 very important verses in case you never realized it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 to 12. You know, verse 6 speaks about our conversion. 2 Corinthians 4:6, where light comes into our heart. And then verse 10 to 12 speaks about our spiritual growth. First of all, always carrying in our body, 24/7, the principle of not living centered in myself, but centered in God, so that this wonderful life of Jesus will be manifested in us. And then that is why, verse 11, the Lord is constantly delivering us over to death. What does that mean? That means if you're a serious Christian, if you're really a serious Christian, your Heavenly Father will arrange many circumstances in your daily life to deliver you over to death for Jesus' sake. That means He'll give you many opportunities in your home life every day to die to yourself. Do you find that to be true? Your Father loves you. He's giving you opportunities every day in your home life, in your place of work, even when the traffic's busy on the road. Plenty of opportunity to die to yourself. You're being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. And the purpose is not that you react in those situations just like all the children of Adam and just come here on Sunday morning and sing hymns. No, but in all those situations, you're determined that the life of Jesus, verse 11, should be manifested in your mortal flesh. That when Almighty God, your Father, delivered you over to a situation where you had to die to yourself, you chose it. The one thing God will not do is force you to go a certain way, because then you'll be a robot. He'll put you into a situation and say, choose now. That's what He did to Adam and Eve. He put them in a situation and say, choose. You want to go my way or your way? That's it. He always puts us in that. We are delivered over into situations in our daily life, and we have to choose whether we want to go the way of the dying of Jesus. And the purpose is so that the life of Jesus, verse 11, may be manifested in our mortal flesh. It doesn't stop there. If you go this way, you will move on to the next level, verse 12, where as this death of Jesus works in you, you'll find the life of Jesus being transmitted through you to other people in the church, and other people coming into a life because you are allowing death to work in you. It's wonderful that God will give you revelation, and God will make you such a blessing to other people that life comes to other people because you are allowing death to work in you every day. That's the only way I want to live. I want to make maximum use of my one life for Jesus. Lord, I want more and more of the life of Jesus to be manifested in me. Then I have to die to myself. And the life of Jesus will. God will take care of that. He'll produce life in others through you, not just in passing on information to others. The life of Jesus will come forth in others because you decided to let death work in you. So, let's come back to this one verse, and I'll close with that. Matthew chapter 16, what Jesus said to Simon Peter. Please remember this. It's in relation to building the church, the body of Christ. You are a stumbling block to me, Matthew 16:23, because your mind is set on your own human interests, not on God's interest. Now, a lot of people don't think they're a stumbling block. They maybe say, I'm a sort of a weak believer. No, you're a stumbling block to me. You're a hindrance to my work because you're sitting in the church and seeking your own. If you're out there in the world, you couldn't be a stumbling block to me. But you claim to be sitting in the New Covenant Church and you're seeking your own. Then you're a stumbling block to God. I say, then you might as well go out into the world and live like everybody else. Why sit in a church claiming to be a New Covenant person and seek to be a stumbling block? You're a stumbling block for seeking your own interests. It's a very serious thing. And I want to take it seriously in my life. I hope you'll take it seriously in yours. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to see these things in a way, not intellectually alone, but your Holy Spirit makes it real in our hearts so that we can live like this. Help us each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.